Today, in the Attorney Career Advice Podcast with Harrison Barnes.
I'm at the Fence Law Firm.
I'm just hire a business that no one else is doing.
And real estate. Not exactly. He wrote Siegel's Law outlines and all sorts of things. Okay, in the context of discussing goals for the first 30, 60, 90 days, how can a candidate delicately inquire about potential obstacles or challenges they might face in the role? Is there a way to frame this question positively to show problem-solving skills and a proactive mindset? Yeah, you can say something along the lines of, I realize it's really important to get off a good foot and people will remember me based on how well I do early on. What do I need to do the best job possible in the first 30, 60, 90 days? I want to talk about, by the way, why your first 30, 60, 90 days are so important. They're important because you show people how enthusiastic you are. People get an immediate first impression of you. And that first impression is going to make it so they either, so they either think positively or want to give you more work, or it's going to give you a negative impression. If you give people a negative impression during your first 30 or 60, 90 days, people will stop giving you work. You will be in a position where you're not liked, where things just aren't going well for you, and you're thought of negatively, and you have that initial bad taste. So you need to do very well with anybody, by the way. If you go into a firm as a summer associate, if you're a law student, if you go into a firm as a new associate that hasn't been a summer there, if you go into a firm as an experienced attorney, if you go into a firm as a partner, the first 30 or 60 days are incredibly important because you will either establish momentum or you will not establish momentum. And that's a very important thing to remember. And so doing the best you can during the first 30 or 60 days is incredibly important. Potential obstacles and challenges. I don't know that you want to go too much into that, but you can actually say that. What are the biggest challenges to doing well? And that is actually okay. What would I need to do to really impress you my first right out of the gate? And very good question. People like that. And it shows a lot of motivation and then an understanding of what the problems are and so forth. That is a very important question. The only way to really do that well is to ask it in a way that shows you're ready to avoid problems and you will get good answers to that. The people that answer that will tell you exactly what you need to do, and that will be helpful for you to establish your brand early on. Okay. So next question. I'm gonna go through all these questions. I'm gonna answer some more from the beginning. I'm not gonna answer some. I'm just gonna go randomly. So if you are working for your question, I will make sure I answer it. Everyone wait, and I'll get to the new ones and older ones. Okay, so I'm a new attorney in the specialized field of litigation and employment law, but a lot of my firms in my region mostly do insurance defense. I will explain insurance defense, why that is, in a moment. And the employment opportunities are limited. I'm coming from a branch office of a larger firm. Should I consider going to a smaller general practice firm, or should I stick to employment law and look at other regions? Okay, so everyone understands there are lots of insurance defense firms. Insurance defense, by the way, is litigation. There are a lot of insurance defense firms. And if you are interested in getting a job and you feel like you're having a difficult time doing it, insurance defense is always a great practice area to go into. It's a great practice area because if you are doing insurance defense, then you're more likely you have a good opportunity to get a position because there's just a lot of demand from it. Insurance defense, by the way, is auto accidents, slip and fall, all those sorts of things, all that sorts of things where people get injured and insurance companies defend people. And they typically, this job pays as much, but there's just a lot of them. And so this person is saying that employment opportunities doing employment law are limited. I disagree. Employment law is not limited. And it's not, because every business out there gets sued for different things. McDonald's gets sued all the time. Everybody gets sued. There's just, you have one little McDonald's and people are getting injured. There's sexual harassment. People feel that I'm not saying there's sexual harassment, but there's usually some sexual harassment. There's people think they're discriminated against. People think they were fired for the wrong reason. That's just a freaking McDonald's, one McDonald's. So they will have things. So I do not think employment law is limited. I do think that employment law for doing working in a if you're in a large firm. The problem with working in large firms and employment law, I just want to make sure everyone understands, is employment law is typically in the highest paid law firm. Employment law is almost always limited to defending against class actions that are brought because the companies and the, can pay a lot of money for that. The show is typically limited to class actions. Then the next thing that happens with employment law at the largest law firms is sometimes they do it for established clients. But the problem with employment law is that because there's so many firms, you have like your Littler Mendelsons, your Jackson Lewis's, your Ford and Harrison's, because there's so many firms that do nothing but employment law, in order to do employment law consistently for your McDonald's and your Walmarts and things, someone needs to be able to consistently not charge as much money. These firms are all not billing a lot of money, except for the major firms. So there are not a lot of big firms that do employment law. The ones that do typically do class action defense, and the ones that don't do that may do employment law, but they're typically not charging as high of rates. So it is harder to get jobs in big firms. But by the way, those jobs are also less stable because a lot of times, because employment law doesn't, the firms can't charge as much money or it's more difficult to hold on to clients. Those firms that do employment law, the big ones, often are looking to get rid of their employment law practices. So what would I do if I was an employment law lawyer? So employment law lawyers, the nice thing about them is there are tons of firms in every city that do either employment defense or employment plaintiff's work. There is a lot of money to be made in plaintiff's works in most states, not all. And there's also a lot of money to be made in employment defense. So I do not think that wherever you're working, I don't think the employment opportunities are limited. I will tell you, let me just see if I can do this real quickly. I can open a page that's not, doesn't have anything. So it's scary. I don't care where you are. Let's say you're in, I don't know, Oklahoma City. It's not a huge market, right? I mean, Oklahoma City employment defense law firms. I'm just law firm. The way you look for opportunities isn't necessarily to be able to find, oh, look, hiring partner. Awesome. Interesting. Sorry, I'm going to actually cut this out. Hiring partner is one of my companies. I just am very surprised it's showing up this way. So I'm excited about this, actually. Okay. But I didn't even know that company advertised. It's pretty awesome. So these are all these firms you can see here in Oklahoma City that do defense stuff. So you can find them. It's not too hard. You have all these firms. You also have, if you want to keep looking for law firms many times, there's sometimes things will come up that show you all of the different places. So you have these sorts of things that come up, these different rankings of law firms. And you could also, and a lot of markets, like if you're in a big market, let's say Sacramento, California, that's not that big of a market, that's California. Employment defense firms, you'll see this where they will just suddenly show you these kind of listings where you start seeing all of these. There's BCG, I love it. You start seeing all these first. Pretty cool. So you start seeing all of these different places that do employment law defense. So the way to find jobs, by the way, I just want to make sure that everyone understands the way to find jobs, is not to apply to firms that you're finding on job boards or whatever, et cetera. The way to find jobs is to find jobs. This one piece of advice, this one little piece of advice I'm about to give you could change your life and really could. It's going to, if you fully understand what I'm about to say, it's going to be 100 times worth the price of admission or whatever. It's no price, but coming to this webinar, it's going to, if you write it down, it's going to change your life. If you understand it, it's going to change your life. It's going to make it so you never have to worry about getting a job again or being unemployed because no one is doing this.
Do you know the secrets to getting your dream legal job? We do. And one of the best things you can do is apply to jobs that fly under the radar. Applying to openings with very little competition means you stand a much higher chance of getting hired. But how do you find openings like that? For starters, you're not going to find them on major job boards, because these jobs are usually only advertised on companies' websites and in small regional publications. That is why we created LawCrossing, the most comprehensive database of legal jobs in the world. We have a team of people constantly working to find every single legal job out there. Unlike other job boards, which only list jobs that companies pay to post, we include every legal job we can find in order to maximize your chances of finding a job. So, what are you waiting for? Head over to www.lawcrossing.com to find your dream legal job today.
So there are jobs, I will tell you, because this is what I do. 85% of Pearson's placements and BCG's placements, of our placements, I want to make sure you understand this, because these are firms that are paying us tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, to find people. Sometimes they'll pay, if it's a partner, they will pay $250,000 or whatever. This is something that everyone should understand. It's going to change your freaking life. 85% of placements are with firms that do not have openings. So this is my entire business that no one else is doing. Places with firms that do not have openings. No one else is doing this. No, 99% of recruiters do not do this. And recruiters do not do this. And not only that, 95% of job seekers do not do this. Why is this important? So when you apply to jobs, and again, this is so important, when you apply to firms that don't have openings, you are the only freaking applicant. So why would, because no one else is doing this. No, 98% of candidates do this. And if they do, they're only applying to these big firms. They're not applying to everyone. Candidates do not do this. So this is huge. Like, I just want everyone to understand what this means. So why was I searching on Google? I was searching on Google to show you all of these freaking law firms that do your type of work. It's not that employment opportunities are limited. It's that no one's freaking applying to these jobs. You have to be out of your mind. And I don't know why people don't do this. I don't know. It mystified me to freaking death my entire damn career. But this, no one does this. Like, you probably don't do it. If you want to work in freaking Sacramento as a employment attorney, what you, oops, what's happening here? Something happened. Oh, I don't know why this isn't scrolling. But if you want to work in Sacramento as an employment attorney, like, look at all the freaking places you can apply. No one's doing this. They'll go to Indeed or LinkedIn and say, whoa, there's no jobs. Screw it. This is what people do. They're like, oh, I got to move. No, you don't have to freaking move. I've seen people working in all sorts of markets. They're like, oh, I'm in Colorado City, no jobs. And I do a search for them on Google or in databases. And there's 50 firms doing the kind of work. Like, this is, no one does this. You have to be, again, I've been in this business forever. You have to be out of your mind. No one does this, did not do this. So there are employment law opportunities every single where you go. Now, how else do you find them? And again, I'm going to promote one of my freaking own companies, and I'm not doing that. So LawCrossing, which I own, goes to every law firm website that has jobs, every company website, and that we can find, and puts them on there, and they're not advertised. If you put a job on LinkedIn, or if a company puts a job on LinkedIn or Indeed, they're paying. They're paying to be there. So that means you're only seeing a small fraction of the jobs that are out there. You're not seeing every job that's available. You're only seeing the jobs that people are paying for. So LawCrossing just shows you every job that websites that aren't advertised. That's it. Works. But anyway, it's not the best for small markets. If you're in like tiny market, like very small, for example, town of 15,000 or something, is because there's not a lot of ever firms, even 10,000 is. But anyways, that's, I work in and live in Malibu, California. There's probably 10 law firms here, but maybe 7,000 permanent residents. So again, there's, you have to, but
The point is that in Law Crossing, they don't want to promote it, but also has what are called archive jobs, which is the hugest, the most smartest thing you would do. That's just jobs that a law firm is, companies have had in the past, and our law firms, and if you apply to those, they're likely to do that. So I just want everyone to understand the reason I'm being so dramatic about this freaking point is that there are jobs in almost every market, but you have to make them, you have to find them, you have to actually go out and job. Things aren't going to come to you just waiting, throwing your hat in the ring with everything else. If you are applying to a job, what happens is there are anybody with an internet connection that finds a job on LinkedIn or Indeed is just bombarding those employers with openings. And typically what happens when you apply to openings is people are only applying to, they're applying to the first openings. They're, the employers typically take people from the first applicants. So if you're like an employer and you get 50 applicants or 100 applicants, like what's going to happen is the first 20 or 30 you're going to look at, and then you're going to try to interview and hire based on those. And the ones that come after, you're just like, I don't want to keep freaking clicking on open and looking at all these emails. I'm just going to look at the initial ones. I'm going to spend my time interviewing those people that I like, and hopefully I won't have to look at more people because this is a lot of work and I don't have time and we're billing. That's how law firms think. So you want to be first to apply, but better yet, you want to be the only applicant. I can't emphasize this enough. If you read this or you listen to this, then that's, if you understand this, you will, it will give you dividends for the rest of your freaking life. Rare. No one does this though. And again, I'm not talking about sending your resume unsolicited to Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher. That's an awesome law firm. The only thing I can say is that if you try to do that, send an unsolicited resume to them, they're probably, everyone is doing that. So it's not going to mean as much as that if you send it to a firm that's not that large. So that's how that works. Okay, so this says, I'm an attorney in a specialized field of litigation. Oh, same question. I'm sorry. I didn't ask that one. Didn't put the right one. And I, by the way, will get to all these questions. There's a lot of them, but I'm going to make sure I get them. Sometimes I find them. I get the most responses to job applications or just resumes, so just through LinkedIn, rather than applications requiring a cover letter and lots of other materials. Is this a sign for your materials while or something else? Honestly, most employers only look at your resume. That's just how it works. Sometimes they'll look at your cover letter, but not that often. I think we write cover letters for all of our candidates at BCG, but I personally believe that if you have a long cover letter, it can actually hurt you. One line or two lines or three lines, not from a recruiter, but if you're applying to law firms on your own, it's probably better than a longer one. Sometimes people will say all this stuff, like I gained this incredible experience in litigation where I was able to exceed expectations and all this sort of stuff actually hurts you. Anytime you write a long cover letter, really what you're doing, it's funny, is you're emphasizing, you're showing people your weaknesses rather than your strengths. That's funny, but that's a lot of times what you're doing. You're saying things you think are a big deal that are not, and making yourself try to seem better than others. You're just doing all these things that are wrong. My opinion is that less is more, especially with this, that the cover letter may be hurting you because you're just writing too much. What is your cover letter saying? You're applying to this position. I very much considered something along those lines, very simple, and believe this is just my, I believe I had excelled and something I've always wanted to look at grow since I never been that long. Something very simple. You don't even have to say, that's all you need to say. I had this funny thing happen. I got a recommendation letter once from a very well-known attorney, a law professor, that most attorneys in the country knew who he was. And I had done classes for him. I'd done a couple classes with him. I had done a book for him. I wrote a book for part of the class. What else did I do? I just did a lot of stuff for him. And he wrote a recommendation letter for me that was very powerful. And it just said, I've been a law professor for 40 years. He's older, 40 years. 40 years. I'm fairly rarely met someone that a new attorney or new attorney and someone much as I'm Harrison. Something very simple, Harrison. Where are you? I would definitely hire him. That's it. So it was very simple and but very strong. And then that's it. What is it? Jeffrey O'Connell. So anyway, that's it. That's all I wrote. And I got all, and it was like, I got all sorts of jobs or clerking. Yeah. That's very simple. So you can do the same thing with cover letters. My cover letter, I remember to Quinn Emanuel when I was applying there. It was just something like, I'm interested in practicing. I would very much to, I've always wanted to be a litigator. Always wanted to be a litigator, something like I always wanted to be a litigator and practice at the very highest level. I'm just showing an example of a really good cover letter. Quinn Emanuel, is that firm? And I very much, I am unbelievably impressed with your firm, something like that. And I want to work there, something like that, more than anything. Something very, it wasn't that, but work for you. Just something very simple. Someone sees that and they're like, the hell, wow. Or I've been a law professor 40 years. That's it. So a lot of times people think they need to write all this crap and how great they are and what and their insights. And I will be freaking 100% honest with you that if you can do this very slowly, people just that, they'll see that and they'll be like, wow, what the hell? This is crazy. So this is what you need to do. People do not do this. They write more. Writing more hurts you. It can make you look like a braggart. It can make you look like you're too impressed with yourself. It can make you will make typos many times or the writing won't be great. There's just all sorts of things that are wrong with that. My advice to you is just if you say something like this at the end in your email, that's all you need to say. And people are just going to be blown away. So I hope that helps you. I just think it's that's how that works, what I would recommend. Okay, so this person says, this is a good question. What is the, and this is actually, I'm actually happy to answer this particular question because I think it's a good question. This is something I do all day long is look at these. The person says, what is the best way to, let me see, work in BCG after, what is the best way for an attorney who would like to work with BCG to research to get in contact with BCG after completing the questionnaire? You can always tell us. My number is 310. What was it? 444-0000. So you can certainly call. But here's the question. And because all I do are law firm placements. And what does that mean? That's all I do. That's all I've ever done. It's all, frankly, I understand. I've been doing it for a quarter of a century. So what does it mean? What do I know? And what is the best way to get in touch with BCG Attorney Search? BCG will contact you immediately if you are qualified. So If you look like someone that can get a job at a law firm. And what is that? That just means all you need to have is a title of partner, or associate, whatever, counsel, title that's a permanent, that makes you look like a permanent attorney, but you're working there, means that all you have, and this is, by the way, this is anything unique to BCG. This is just what you need to get a job in a law firm. I'm not looking for anything other than that, someone that's going to get a permanent job. I do permanent law firm placements. So it means you have a title like partner, or associate, or counsel. It means that you, in addition to having that title, it means that you are in a well-defined practice area. Well, it means you are more than 1 year out of law school. That's another requirement. So that's that. It means you're more than 1 year out of law school. And then it means that you're in one practice area. That's it. That's all you have to do to get a job, really, or work with BCG. It's very hard, but it's not, very few people do this, but this is what you need to do. But you need to be in one practice area. But once you've done that, you're in great shape. What does that mean? And it also means you have to have had tons of jobs, but, and you have to be from a law firm. That's it. These are the things that you need to do. Doesn't matter if you're working with BCG. This is all you need to do to get a job in a law firm. You need to have a title that's a permanent title. This is very important stuff to understand, by the way. This is, again, freaking price of admission. If you want to get a job, what you're going to learn right now, get a job. So it doesn't matter to me what practice area you're in. You could be in insurance, you could be in corporate. It doesn't matter. You just have to have these things. So if you have a title, it's a permanent title, meaning it's something that shows you're working permanently. You need to have that permanent title. It means you have to be 1 year out of law school. It means you're one practice area, meaning you're not doing multiple things. So if you're doing corporate law and litigation, that's not good. You have to be doing one thing. If you're doing patent prosecution and corporate law, that's not a good thing. If you're doing litigation and real estate, not a good thing. You need to be doing one thing because law firms are paying for expertise. They hire from expertise. That's what they want. That's it. So if you do it, and you're trying to get a job in the practice area. So that's the other thing. If you're not doing that, that's a problem too, right? So if you're not doing that, that's obviously going to hurt you a lot as well. You need to be doing that, and you can't be coming from, meaning you can't be trying to switch practice areas. No one is going to hire you that's a firm anywhere near where you're working in terms of prestige level if you're trying to switch practice areas. If you want to go into litigation, you're a corporate attorney, no one's going to be that enthusiastic about you unless you go to a firm that's far less prestigious than where you're at.
Do you want to grow your legal career? A lateral move might be the right choice to get you on track for your career goals. Working with a legal placement firm like BCG Attorney Search can open doors for you and help you live the life you dream of. If you're looking for a new legal job, send us your resume so we can help. Visit www.bcgsearch.com and click on Submit Resume to be paired with one of our legal placement professionals who will work tirelessly on your behalf to get you your dream legal job. Submit your resume to www.bcgsearch.com to get started today.
If you're not, so you just can't do it. I mean, people try to do it all the time, that you can get a job in the practice area, but you certainly can't do a recruiter, and you definitely can't in a firm that's as prestigious as yours, very rarely. And then you have to be from a law firm. So law firms, meaning you could be doing a clerkship or something, or you'll be working for a prestigious branch of the government, like a prosecutor or something, government, doing something prestigious, doing something transferable. But to a law firm, but other than that, you can't be coming from somewhere that's in house. You can't be working for a public interest organization. That's it. So these are the things. BCG is just basically a law firm. It's just saying this is what we'll hire, and you can certainly get a job if you're not a permanent title law firm. A permanent title meaning you're a contract attorney, staff attorney, something. You can certainly get jobs in law firms if you don't have permanent titles. But at the same time, it's definitely not something that you can do to a recruiter. And you're going to have a very hard time with law firms getting a job that way too. So that's all BCG is looking for. And then if you have those things, you will almost always be contacted because there's firms that you can work in.
Okay.
Let me just hear. Okay. This is a great question. So I'm going to answer this one. This is hugely important. This is something that that is important to understand the answer to. And this is a very good question. Again, this is the kind of question that if you understand, that you ask this is going to get you burned if you answer things most of the time. It's a way that a lot of people answer questions right now. So how do you answer this? Sometimes you can avoid it by talking about other things you're uncomfortable with, or if someone asks, sometimes people ask, are you married? Sometimes people ask about your background. I don't know, things that are related to religion, or so. Sometimes people ask other things, and other times they'll ask where you're interviewing. Saying I don't feel comfortable asking the question is honestly going to hurt you, because it's just going to make you feel like you're someone that could sue them. You're someone on the lookout for negative things, that the person has done something negative by asking you that, and you're putting them in the corner. Why on earth would you make people feel like they're doing something wrong and that you think it's a bad thing when they're interviewing you? Why would they hire you? Wouldn't they hire someone that didn't make them feel that way? Of course they would. Would they tell on your form that you did that? No, they would find other reasons to like you. Anytime someone doesn't like you for one reason, or maybe they're not going to say it. They're just going to find other reasons. If they like you, they're not going to talk about the good reasons, the bad things you said. So you would never answer this. You'd have to be insane to say that. It's just not worth it. Why would someone hire you if you're telling them they're doing something wrong, asking that? Why would someone hire you if they think you're going to be trouble? If they hire you, you would have to be crazy. So I'm just telling you, just think about it from an employer's interview. They're going to want to hire someone that makes them feel good about themselves. They're going to want to hire someone that they're not worried is going to sue them. They're going to want to hire someone that doesn't make them feel like they did something wrong in the interview. Wouldn't you? That's what people do. So you can't do that. Now, if someone asks you where else you're interviewing, there is an answer to that. And I should probably put that in a webinar. But where else are you interviewing? That's a very good question. Are you interviewing? When someone asks you that question, you have to basically come back and say something along the line of this is exactly the type of firm I want to do. This is exactly the type of firm I want to interview with. I'm primarily applying to firms like this, but I like this firm because of this. If you're not interviewing anyplace else, you could say, this is really the only place I want to work and the only place that I'm applying to right now. That sounds really good because that makes the firm feel like there's something special. Maybe it's because of the job. Yeah. It's just, you would say something along the lines, I have a lot of other opportunities I guess I could apply to. There's a lot of positions out there, but I'm most interested in this place because of this. If they ask you where else you're interviewing and the firm is not anywhere near the type of firm, it's different than the type of firm you're interviewing with. They're not going to like that either. I had an interview once. I was interviewing with this very good little boutique in Century City that did litigation. I had a clerkship, and so I was coming out of my clerkship looking for jobs in Los Angeles. And a firm asked me where else you're interviewing. And I just said, I'm interviewing in Milwaukee, I'm interviewing with Emmanuel, I'm interviewing with firms. And so then they were just, oh, we only want people that want to work in boutiques. That was the end of it. And they were mad about it. So you just have to give an impression that's the kind of place you want to work for. If you start saying, I'm interviewing in-house, or I'm interviewing in-house, or I'm interviewing with a public interest organization, that's not good either. Why would you talk about a different practice set? No, because if you talk about a different practice set, then that's going to hurt you as well. Why would someone want to hire someone that's not dedicated to working in a law firm? So you just need to be very careful about that. But yeah, the big answer to that is never tell people that you never tell people that you want to work in another practice setting, or you'd never answer in a way that makes them feel badly about themselves or whatever. One example might be you're interviewing with one firm. I remember once I was interviewing with a firm and they asked me that. And I told them a branch office of another firm, and all they said was, be very careful of branch offices. And that was enough. So you're interviewing with the main office of a large law firm, and they ask you where else you're interviewing, and you tell them maybe there's one other position, it's at this firm, but it's a branch office, it makes me nervous. You make them feel good about it. So let me just say, what the hell just happened? I guess I'm answering. Good, I'm glad I got it. Somehow something happened with it. Okay, this person says, I was suspended from the state a bar for something that happened 10 years ago. I have otherwise stellar qualifications. Let me see, otherwise federal clerkship top 10 firm. When they Google me, the suspension comes up. How should I handle interviews? Let me see. Sometimes they Google after the interview and I get turned down and I expect an offer. Okay, that's a good question. The first thing you need to do is call reverse SEO. So all that means is you have to learn about that. There are companies, there are reputation, and those companies that do that. But essentially all that means is, you know, you create a ton of social media profiles, and you have them profiles, you write a blog, and then you have all that information point towards each other. It's meaning you point blog articles towards your social media profiles, you point your social media profiles towards your blog, you know, all these different things. And what'll happen over time, not much time, is that stuff will come up first, and you get it off the first page, you're going to be fine. So that's how people do it. You definitely need to do reverse SEO. This is something I know people that have gotten DUIs, I know people fired, I know people that have had articles run about them that they were OnlyFans or whatever it's called and things like that. So you just need to make sure that you get that information down. The only way to do it is reverse SEO. You can find people that can do this and people that can do this and so forth. That's it. Once you do that, you should be fine and you can get the stuff off the first page. Now I do want to give you some bad news. I'm trying to be mean here, but you have to understand this from the employer's point of view. They have two choices. One is to hire with your bad background. And the other is to hire someone else. That's their problem. So that's their issue. That's the problem. If you were someone and you had a bunch of applicants, what would you do? I was hiring someone to work for me as an assistant once. And I interviewed 5 people for the job. There wasn't that many. One person showed up and she was drunk. And she was actually Woody Harrelson's assistant at the time, or one of his, he had multiple ones. And that did not go well. Another guy showed up and there was this break in his resume. And I kept asking about it. And he told me that he'd stolen from his former employer in prison. Just so, you know, you have, and so obviously didn't hire those people. I hired someone that didn't have anything in their background. So you just have to get that stuff off your resume, off the Google. Now, if that's not enough, then you have to be very clear about what's wrong with you and the problem. So I had a very interesting thing happen once. I hired this recruiter. He's no longer alive, so I'm not unhappy breaking his confidence. His name was Brian Siegel. He worked for me for over 20 years. He recently passed away, but he wrote Siegel's Law Outlines and all sorts of things. And he went to Columbia Law School. He's just a great guy. And so I was in the process of hiring him and he said, thank you, but there's one thing I need to talk to you about before we go through with this. He says, I was suspended from the bar. I was about ready to get, what did you say? It was a call when you're not suspended. I don't know, kicked out of the bar, whatever that is. My license revoked. And what I had done was I had taken the baby bar for one of my students. And because he was teaching how to, you know, get past the bar. And I was fired. I was caught. And I just said, I love the guy. And I said, that's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. And he ended up working with me for over 20 years. But that was something that was decades in his past. And it wasn't something I was concerned about anymore. So what does that mean? That just means that you need to be very careful. You can ask, if you need to answer this question, you can. But unfortunately, if it comes up at the beginning of the interview process before you get an offer, it's going to be very hard. I hope that helps and helps you understand everything.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the show. If you are an attorney looking for a change, head on to bcgsearch.com.